Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week, we've got Justin Fick.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
And that's it. Where's Wayne Miller, Justin Fick?
He's late. He's dicking around.
I can't believe it. Apparently he has a job, and you gotta, you know, do things and have commitments when you do that, you know.
Work and shit? No, fuck that.
To make money.
William Miller does not have his priorities straight.
Anyway, so we got a lot of news for you guys. We'll go ahead and jump into it. This is your best damn podcast ever for Wednesday, March. This is your best damn podcast ever for Wednesday, March 16th, 2011. Justin Fick, you want to roll off the first news story for us?
Sure. My first news story is I couldn't help but notice that Microsoft seems to be hiring developers for a next generation of Xbox.
Ooh.
So this comes from a couple of job postings on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So Microsoft is apparently hiring for a team, quote, responsible for defining and delivering next-generation console architectures from conception through implementation.
It seems like they already have these people. Then again, maybe they don't. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's been a while since they've been making them Xboxes, so.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you really only need these kinds of guys every decade.
Yeah.
I mean, when did the 360 come out? It was 2006?
Oh, before that. 2005,
no,
maybe.
No.
Yeah, I want to
really?
Say like. No, you could be right. Could be like 2006, but it's a good 5 or 6 years old at least.
Let's see. So. It was launched on November. Oh, I just had it. My contacts. I can't see. Oh, I just had it. There we go. God damn. I seriously, it's like right in front of me. I can't read it off the screen. What's happening? God damn.
I gotcha. Microsoft's original Xbox model came out in November 2005.
2005, so yeah, it's been
a while.
Six, about to be 7 years for the Xbox.
So it's, I mean, this generation has lasted quite a long time. You know, I mean,
especially, I mean, yeah, when consoles traditionally last 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and Xbox clearly, and none of the big players have any signs of new consoles coming out. I would say it's smart to be hiring these kinds of positions.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Sony's next console is the PS3.
Right.
I mean, they Sony is going super long term with their console, so I don't see the PS3 going anywhere anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the hell Nintendo's gonna do. Like, they need to come out with something really new and really cool really fast, because
I don't know. I think
they're on a sinking ship.
Yeah, I think they're going to be the last to get to the table. I think we're going to see Microsoft put out some announcement maybe by the end of this year. There'll probably be some rumors by the end of this year, but I wouldn't expect to see anything until 2013 in terms of a new console. But yeah, I think that after that, we'll see Sony say something. And I think way after that, we'll see Nintendo finally hop on board, because they've never been one much to push, at least in terms of graphical fidelity technology, at least in the past couple of console cycles.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of really never have been since, honestly,
ever.
Like, since the Super Nintendo, in my opinion.
Yeah, not even this is Super, well, yeah, well, I mean, Super Nintendo, that was basically their second console, and it was only marginally, in fact, it was really just comparable to the Genesis. I wouldn't say it was even better in terms of fidelity.
I think it had a couple more tricks up its sleeve than the Genesis.
Maybe so. But it didn't have... I remember when I was a kid and I heard about Blaze processing. Sonic the Hedgehog with Blaze processing.
Dude,
I didn't know what that meant,
Genesis,
but I wanted
does,
it.
But Nintendo don't. I remember that shit.
So do you think this is... I mean, it might not necessarily be... It could just be Kinect or something else. Do you think it's a new console for sure?
I think it's at least a new Xbox. I mean, Microsoft is, they've already introduced, their second model of Xbox and...
Right.
I mean, hardware-wise, not just internals. So, I mean, it's at least going to be another iteration of that, and possibly a new platform altogether.
I don't know, but are we ready for a new is the gaming industry ready for a next generation console right now? It seems like we've just barely tapped the full potential of the Xbox and the PlayStation. I mean, you look at a high-end PC game like Crysis. It looks, at least, well, then again, I guess I'm sort of, I haven't been keeping tabs with this, but it looked, Crysis 2 on Xbox 360 looks about the same as Crysis 2 on the PC. It doesn't seem like that's usually where the gap comes from, is like consoles are trying to catch up with PC. And it doesn't seem like the game developers are utilizing, you don't see super high-end PC games anymore that are pushing the limits, you know, begging the consoles to catch up.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like all developers right now are, I think, kind of struggling with these bigger games. I mean, compare all these HD games to what you saw in, you know, the PS2, you know, original Xbox, you know, GameCube, that generation. I mean, right. The budgets have just ballooned. And developers, like, I don't really think they know what to do with these huge games. I mean, I think I think they want to do these crazy things, but just because of these budgets, the games have actually gotten safer. They're not as exciting anymore.
Right. Yeah. It's like what can you do to please the gamer right now? I mean, sure, graphics are always going to be important. I'm not saying graphics don't matter anymore, but it seems like whereas, you know, 5 years ago that was the real focus, it seems more about like efficiency and, you know, cinematics and other elements besides just the pure graphical fidelity.
Yeah, I think if they want to have another generation of consoles, I think what it has to do is not push the graphics any further. I think it needs to make a lot of innovations in just making it easier to make games of this generation, making it easier, making it cheaper. What that will do is it will open up, you know, more possibilities of, you know, of things that can be made with, you know, a certain budget. Companies that have $5 million right now, I mean, they can't make shit with that nowadays. Right. Like, you know, before for the PS2, like, they could make a couple games with that. You know, maybe this next generation will, you know, have some innovations that will allow these games to be made cheaper. I don't know. I mean, I think that needs to happen for, you know, sort of to get that cool little, I'm not going to say a golden age, but like the PS2 era had a lot of really cool shit.
Right.
And I mean, I'll be honest, like Xbox 360, PS3, we're just getting a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, well, it seems like the fidelity has sort of, I don't know, kind of tapered off. It seems like if you look at the PlayStation days, it's like, you know, the graphics on games, at least in terms of like the layperson looking at them, almost like doubled every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And while, you know, if let's say you were to take, I don't know, what's the most graphically advanced game out there? Let's just say Gears 3. I mean, you've seen the trailer for that. If you were to put Gears 3...
or maybe like Killzone 3 looks fucking gorgeous, right. So like
if you were to put one of those two games next to, what was the launch game? Call of Duty 2, mm-hmm. I think? You know, it's a step up, but it's not a mind-blowing step up like we saw back in the days of PlayStation 2 and GameCube.
Yeah.
Or even earlier.
The PS2 compared to the PS1 kind of got us out of that really ugly, blocky 3D phase.
Right.
Like honestly, like if you go back and you play PS1 games, they're just hideous.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, there are a couple gems here or there, but, I mean, for the most part, they look like shit. And the PS2 took it to, you know, took it to the point where it's, I think, like, you know, as far as polygons and as far as just like what, you know, what the machine can push, like it starts to look really good. You know, you started to see a lot of stylistic things pop up, like, you know, cel shading in games started getting more popular. So I mean, you know, I think,
yeah, whatever happened to that trend? I mean, I remember there for a few years.
I guess it was just a fad. I don't know. I think people just got,
yeah.
You know, just went,
I remember there was cell damage and there was Jet Set Radio and there was a couple on PlayStation. And now it's just kind of gone. No, you never see cell shading anymore.
Yeah, because I went, for shits and giggles, I went back and played Dark Cloud 2 again for a while the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
that's another one.
I love that game. Like, I think that's what was cool about the PS2 era is that was a game that I just saw on a shelf. And yeah. I was like, oh, Dark Cloud 2. Like, I kind of remember Dark Cloud 1. I didn't play it, but I remember getting shit reviews. But I looked at the box. I was like, everything about this game sounds cool. And it was just one of those things where it's like you just see a game on a shelf and it looks cool and you buy it and you bring it home, you play it, and it's phenomenal. Huh. I mean, it's I'm afraid to do that with the Xbox, the PS3. Like I'll go through games and I'll see all this stuff and I'm like, I've seen this a million times before. And
well, I think it's just you getting older, getting more jaded. I think that's really what this is. I don't think the titles available are any less quality than they used to be. I think it's just sort of different, and you've gotten more used to and experienced with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a little of both. I mean, you can't say that games right now are as diverse as they were in for the PS2 era. They're just not.
Hmm.
You know, well, but I think because of that, that does make us a little more jaded. I know I definitely am.
Well, look, Justin Fick, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Getting back on topic, the future of gaming is on live. This cloud-based gaming, I'm telling you, is the future. And if Microsoft doesn't at least embrace that a little bit, I think they're going to miss out.
I guess we're going to see what happens when they start talking about stuff. I mean, there's...
Because why not?
I doubt we're going to see anything for E3 on this thing, but...
Oh, definitely not.
I mean, maybe they might tease something. I don't know, because, I mean, they have to know that the cat's out of the bag now. People are seeing their job listings, and I don't know.
But. Well, but Microsoft, I mean, especially, you know, they're all about marketing and timing, and it seems too early to announce anything.
Well, especially because Microsoft is also about marketing early. Like, that's kind of what they're, you know, it's kind of what the Xbox 360 was all about, was being the first on the market.
That's true.
I mean, maybe they might not be as rushed this time, because I don't think there's going to be another PlayStation for a long time. I think the PS3 is just starting to come into its own.
Right.
So I think the PS3 is not going anywhere, and I think Nintendo is no threat to Microsoft. So, yeah, they might take their time announcing their new heat, but... I don't think disc games are going to go away in the next generation, but I think
there's the potential
for an option.
Right. Yeah. I think there's the potential for there to be both, and maybe at some point, maybe the next console we'll see totally cloud based game. I'm telling you, William always mocks me whenever I bring this up, and I'm telling you, 10 years from now, I'll be laughing at his ass.
Well, I mean, I haven't played on live yet. I've just checked out their little viewer on the iPad. I mean, it looks kind of cool. Like, it's an awesome concept. Mm-hmm. And on the iPad, anyway, it really seems to work as a viewer. So I don't really see how it wouldn't work as, you know, if I were to stick some, you know, USB sticks into my iPad to actually play that fucking thing.
Yeah. I mean, think about this, though. I mean, Vizio, right, the TV company, they have apps on the TV now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can totally see a future where... Microsoft just licenses their Xbox technology to television and display manufacturers, and you pay, you know, $10 a month like Netflix, and you just click the Xbox button on your remote, and now you're playing Xbox on your TV on the cloud. I think that's the real future of gaming. I don't think it's going to be more boxes, more discs. It's going to be all online, all streamed, all mainframe style.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't see discs going away just because, I mean, there is something cool about owning a game, but what I do see it replacing is stuff like Gamefly.
Right.
You know, what if Gamefly does its game rental service where you can just play anything in their library, that now they have streaming over, you know, over the cloud.
Right.
And instead of them shipping you discs, like, it's more worth it for them to stream all that shit out.
Right. I think big changes are coming. It's not clear what they're going to be yet, but big changes are on the way, and maybe we'll keep you guys updated. But I don't think we'll see anything at E3, like you said, but certainly by a year from now, there's going to be real big rumblings of some of these changes coming.
Yeah, my guess will be E3 next year. They'll come out with their heat and have a release date on it, and I think by end of year next year we'll.
Yeah, we'll have a pretty clear picture.
Yeah, I think by end of year next year we'll be able to have it in our hands.
Oh, well, maybe. They wouldn't ship it by next fall, I don't think. I think it'd be 2013.
Late 2012? Possible.
I'm not seeing it. They're making too much money on Xboxes right now. Don't rock the boat, but 2 or 3 years from now, I see it. Anyway, moving on to another Microsoft-related story. I've got two for you here, Justin Fick.
Yo.
The Kinect ships 10 million. Are you kidding me?
Damn.
10 million Apparently, that's called Deca Platinum. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Deca Platinum.
Deca Platinum.
Nice.
And sets Guinness record for fastest selling consumer electronics device. However, Star Asterisk. It's just because more people are gaming. There are more people. You know, it's like, oh, Modern Warfare set the record. Then the next year, oh, this other game set the record for most of the. Oh, then something. I mean, it's just because more people are playing games and there's more people. So, not as impressive as they want it to sound, perhaps.
Yeah, because, like, my impression was the Kinect was. Like honestly, it's the most impressive hardware out of the three motion controllers, but it seemed to have the worst selection of games to play with it. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, there's that dance
really did.
And a lot of people are playing now, but
yeah, but there's
it seems
been nothing.
Like Wii Sports with your avatars.
Yeah, and there's nothing on it since. Like, since the Kinect came out, what, we're 4 or 5 months, 6 months in now?
Mm-hmm.
And what has there been besides the launch games? I have no goddamn idea. Because I don't hear about any. They're just like all casual WiiWare, or not WiiWare, but kind of just Wii shovelware, you know,
yeah,
the wiggle
I mean,
in front
I mean, honestly,
of your screen
the,
games.
The biggest thing that I saw people getting stirred up about with a Kinect was someone made some homebrew thing where they put like this female model and there was like some wicked, crazy breast physics. Like, you just, like, wave your chest back and forth and your tits would fly over the place and you could actually use your model's arm and bounce your tits around. Like I saw people get more excited about that than any other game that came out on Kinect.
Well, you know, breasts are great, Justin Fick. I mean,
yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, it's more of a testament to, I think, how little of a shit people are giving about the rest of the games for it.
Right. Another Xbox related story, which this one actually is a little more related to what we were just talking about. Back in 2007 at CES, Microsoft had a little thing about IPTV on your Xbox 360, kind of like a cable box, or somehow cable was going to hook into your Xbox. You can watch shows on it. And then since then, not a whole lot has been said. But 1 year later, the company promised to introduce Microsoft Media Room IPTV service by that holiday season. Over 2 years after that, the console did get some Media Room functionality, but only used in tandem with a DVR on the AT&T UVerse service. Yeah, I haven't used. Apparently, that works. I don't have the UVerse thing. I don't really know.
I've never heard of UVerse before.
It's like AT&T. You know how Comcast has the mega package that's like your cell phone and your text message and your cable and your like children and shit. That's the AT&T equivalent, UVerse. Today comes a report that the Xbox 360 will get IPTV functionality later this year, according to ZDNet. Microsoft is currently working on a project codenamed ORAPA, O-R-A-P-A,
ORAPA?
which combines the elements of Xbox Live and Microsoft Media Room. ORAPA is a city and game park in the southern African country of Botswana, just as Project Natal, a.k.a. Kinect, was named for a South African province. We're so out of ideas, we're just like, oh, fucking spin the globe, boom.
You can tell like their project manager was a geography major or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, if they do it right, I'm excited about it, because honestly, I'm done with cable. Like, I want to be rid of it forever. I'm over it.
Well, I don't know. You say that, but at the same time, you know, those people don't want you to be done with it, right? They don't want you going online streaming the Netflix. I think there's, I don't know, we're at such a strange time. This is getting a little, like, you know, abstract here, but we're at such a strange time in, like, information where we've hit the point where, like, if you look at, like, telephone services and cable services, they're all sort of, what am I trying to get at? Like,
they've had us by the nuts for a very long time.
Right, and now everything is shifting, and, like, the internet is so prevalent and widely available now that everything is sort of shifting and changing, and I'm not really sure what the future is going to bring. Are cable companies going to try and push this and lock it down, or telephone communication companies like AT&T and Verizon, are they going to try and charge you for this service, or are they going to bundle it with wireless? It's very unclear what the future is going to be. I wish we had someone who's like a telecommunication and technology expert who could give us a clearer picture of where this is all going.
Honestly, I think all the cable companies, I think all the phone companies are honestly, I think they're fucking dinosaurs. I think they're, you know, they're dinosaurs left over from a previous age that has ended, and we, you know, we're sort of we're trying to move on from that. You know, we're trying to move on where, you know, all of my television is controlled by one company, all my phone is controlled by one company. Like, they're kind of all becoming one thing now, and I think these companies are just trying to just reach out and grab and try to get control of everything they can. Like,
yeah, are we just going to have a mega monopoly where it's like, you know, you own my Xbox, you own my I own Xbox TV, and I talk on Xbox telephone, and I talk on, you know, it's like, I don't know, all of these technologies are merging into one thing, and all of these companies are merging into one thing, and, you know, it's like, in some ways it's great because it's cheaper for the consumer, in other ways it's kind of 1984-esque where we've, you know, it's sort of like we have these giant companies that are just controlling all the information we receive.
Yeah, I mean there's that, but I mean, I would.
I mean, it gets back to the net neutrality debate.
Honestly, I kind of trust that these companies would be kept in check, and just I'm just more concerned just letting, you know, making these companies let us move on to the next big thing. Like, I don't want to have to deal with fucking Comcast anymore or fucking AT&T or Sprint. Like, I don't want to have to deal with their old shit. Like, just move on to the new thing. Like, let go. You know, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Well, you know, it's easy for us in the, you know, you and I are very tech savvy. You know, it's easy for us to say it's over. There's still people who don't even have cell phones, talk on their landlines, you know, and, you know, get the basic cable and that's all they want. Don't have internet. And I understand that, but I'm saying like 20 years from now, we're looking at such a different picture of information sharing and technology that, like, I can't describe it. I don't know what it's going to be like. And breasts.
As long as there's still those, as long as whatever's next delivers my porn in a timely fashion, I'm looking forward to the future.
All right, Jess Fick, what else you got for us?
My other news is our good friend Sirius Sam is going indie. So,
what does that mean? I thought they were already indie.
So. Yeah, I had to read through this to see exactly what that meant. But so Crow Team, the makers of Sirius Sam, for those who do not know, is sort of handing out its IP. Like they're sort of licensing it out to a couple of indie developers to sort of build up some hype for Sirius Sam 3.
Now before you go any further, handing out their IP. Is Sirius Sam really even an IP? I mean, really? Really?
What's kind of like
it's a dude with a gun. Like, what's your IP?
Yeah, he's kind of like the Walmart Duke Nukem.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot that even ties the Sirius Sam universe together other than shoot guns.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, what Sirius Sam to me is more so than the character is just the style of gameplay.
Right.
That
Doom style of just shoot everything, move fast.
Yeah, shoot, circle, strafe, you know. that kind of thing. I'm honestly, like, the if there is a character that is symbolic of the Sirius Sam franchise, it's the kamikaze dude with no head that somehow screams.
Yeah, how did they scream? No one knows the answer to these questions.
So there's three independent developers that will be making Sirius Sam branded games, I suppose. So one of them is Mommy's Best Games, which I don't know if you remember that the Xbox Live indie game Weapon of Choice.
I hadn't played that one.
That's them. There's one called Be Rad Entertainment. They made a game called Lame Castle.
I love these, like, developer and game names.
And then the third team is Vlambeer, which they made Super Crate Box.
Okay.
Which is,
so there's,
which
some,
is
there's some clout.
Fun. Yeah, there's some talent. So it goes into a little bit of detail. So Mommy's Best Games is making a side-scroller. It's called Sirius Sam Double D. So I think this is a future judgment for us. So yeah, it's a side-scrolling two-dimensional shooter. B-Rad is making a what did it say here? So they're making one of those running games like Cannibalt.
Okay. You know, I really do like those. And Bit Trip Runner, I think.
Yep.
Those are fun. I like them. They're simple, but they're fun to play.
Yeah. So they're making a running game starring the Kamikaze dude. So I'm sure that one's going to be a riot. And then Vlambeer is making, it says here, a seriously frantic turn-based role-playing game called Serious Sam: The Random Encounter. So, I mean, just knowing these developers knowing what they can do, like I think we just got to see these in action.
I think this is a genius idea. I think that it costs them like nothing to do this. It'll make money for both of them, and all of these sound like really funny, interesting games to play. Maybe not, you know, they're going to be knock them out of the park winners, but I don't see how, it's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the only way idea. I can see how it hurts you is if they do so well that their games are actually better than Serious Sam 3.
And speaking of which, no offense, Serious Sam 3, but God, Serious Sam 2 came out what, like 2007?
At least 30 years ago.
Well, Serious Sam 1 came out.
I wasn't born yet.
I'm going to say Serious Sam 1 was like 2003, maybe 2002. And then Serious Sam Second Encounter came out the next year. Then they had Serious Sam 2, which nobody played. No offense, Serious. I think I owned it. I didn't even play it. Did you play Serious Sam 2?
I don't think so. I think what I remember is the Second Encounter.
Yeah, that's not the second one. They actually did make a second one that was just kind of went. It came out like the same year as like Halo 2 or Halo 3 or something. It just was. It was on the original Xbox and just kind of went under the table and nobody really paid attention to it. But hey, I would love to hear more about the third one. Maybe they'll give us some deets at E3 this year.
I think as long as they stick to the gameplay, I think if they do anything to make it a modern shooter, this game will fail.
Right.
I mean, Serious Sam is good because it does away with all those things and sort of does, you know, sort of goes back to the first-person shooter roots, which is kind of like a, you know, more like right. it's more of a dodgy game. Like it's, I read a really good article comparing Doom to, some more modern shooters, like say Gears of War. Like, I mean, you look at Doom or you look at Serious Sam, like, they kind of play like an arcade game. So, I mean, consider, for instance, the enemy projectiles. None of them are instant. Like, I think Doom and Serious Sam have one enemy that has an instant hit weapon, and it's very
well. No, Doom's got more than a few. Most of the enemies are instant hit. You've got, but only the fireballs were the only thing you could dodge. Well, I guess missiles. Fireballs and missiles were the only dodgeable
fireballs, the missiles, the Hell Knight little slime balls, the Cake of Demons electricity balls, like the fireballs that the Mancubus shot out. Like,
the most common enemy was the basic grunt guy. And that was instant.
Yeah, the guy with the pistol. There's the guy with the shotgun. The chain
shotgun
gun
dude
guy,
mess you up.
Then,
you can't mess with shotgun dude.
Yeah. Oh, and then the big mega spider had the chain gun too.
Oh, that's right.
So yeah, they had a couple instant hits, but the majority of their projectiles were things that flew at you. You could see them coming, and you could dodge them. Compared to something like Gears of War, where everything is instant hit, like there's right. like, there's nothing to dodge. You know, so you
that's
sort
true.
Of stand up and shoot, and then you kind of just sponge up a bunch of bullets, and then you duck back down, suck your thumb
yeah,
for a little
true.
Bit, and you heal
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and that kind of makes the game faster by getting instant. I mean, this is kind of an interesting debate, is that like even though the bullets are slower, because they're slower you can have more of that happening at once, and the gameplay is kind of more hectic in that you're forced to dodge rather than, you know, that's one thing I really like Gears of War, but at the same time the game is mostly hide. I mean, half the time in that game you're hiding behind something. And
yeah, honestly, I mean, like to me all the cover based games are red light, green light.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Enemy stop shooting, green light, go and shoot some dudes and whatever, and then when they'll come back, start shooting back at you. Now you gotta hide again.
Yeah, it's very stop and go, and I do miss the olden days of, getting that I don't. Yeah, you don't have the hecticness in Gears of War.
I mean, people kind of look at those old games like Serious Sam and Doom as being like these barbaric things, and you know we've moved on to more modern design sensibilities. But they like first person shooters have kind of gone from a skill based dodging thing to
it seems like straightforward and easy almost. Well, it seems like we've moved. It's certainly in the multiplayer realm. It seems like we've moved more towards like. Then again, I guess Halo has a lot of projectile-based weaponry. We forgot about Halo. There's a lot of beam weapons. But then again, their beam weapons are very, very fast. Compared to Doom, they're very fast. I don't know about Serious Sam.
Yeah, but they're not instant. Like you can still dodge stuff.
Right. I think we'll continue to see this debate forever, and I think we'll always have plasma weapons versus bullets in games until the end of time. Mm-hmm. But
I'm just hoping that hopefully Serious Sam does it, is they sort of fire a shell back in that old school skill based.
I'm sure they will. That's always been their forte. I can't imagine them going the opposite direction. It seems like that's what people are wanting these days, and maybe. Maybe they're trying to wise up and make themselves more, I'm using air quotes, marketable.
Yeah, I mean, Bulletstorm kind of goes in that direction a little bit. I mean, it still has that bullets, big bullet sponge dude who, it's still red light, green light. But now you just get extra points for shooting dudes in the dick.
And that's literally true.
So, I mean, it's a step in the right direction, but it's not all the way back there yet.
Right.
Like, they just put a score on Gears of War.
Right.
And the dude says dick a lot.
I have no problem with that. So, speaking of the word dick, this has nothing to do with the word. I don't know why I even said that. Moving on to our next thing. Remember how we were talking about last week? We were saying, man, games need cloud-based save systems. This is so stupid that they don't have it yet. Guess what? Today, Sony confirmed the rumors of cloud-based storage for PlayStation Plus members.
Oh, man.
So PlayStation Plus is the $50 a year premium service that you get early access to demos and, blah-de-blah, and, free game once a month. It's basically their answer to Xbox Live, but now it's going to allow you to store your game saves online and retrieve them from any other console connected to the PlayStation Network. Now, from the wording of this, I don't know if this specifically says you'll be able to, play your games without any sort of memory. It doesn't sound like that. It seems like more like, you can make a little Dropbox and put them in there. But it doesn't sound like...
That's kind of the impression that I get. I would love to have no storage and just put them up there and then get them back down from it.
Let's see. Members will be able to store up to 150 megabytes of game save data on PSN with a maximum of 1,000 files per day. Copy prohibited save data can also be backed up, and all previously. But I guess some games don't let you copy on memory cards, so I guess we're talking about that. Save data can be restored once every 24 hours. If they use the word restore, to me that means it's a utility, right?
It's backup.
It's like a backup service, and that's not really cloud based saves.
No, that's not what people want.
Right. I mean, I guess that
it's
that's
getting
helpful.
There, but it doesn't sound like that's what we're gunning for.
Right. So a step in the right direction, but still kind of a letdown. I would hope by next console generation we're going to see all. I mean, hey, we keep talking about the future of gaming on live, all cloud based storage. For everything. Right.
True that. I mean, I think the snag, like you mentioned, is there are systems in place to keep you from distributing your save games. And that's not a hardware thing. That is not a legal thing, but it's copy protection.
Right.
So I think that's going to stop true cloud-based saves for a while, as long as those prohibitions are in place.
Right. I got another story for you here, Justin Fick. This one, Activision, Not just a month after pulling the plug on future installments of the Guitar Hero and DJ Hero franchise, it appears as if Activision may not be entirely done with rhythm game genre. Kotaku reports that Activision has begun work on a new property called Dance Hero. According to the website Source, the game will capitalize on the burgeoning motion controller dance game, which it has seen recent hits as Harmonix, Dance Central, Ubisoft's Just Dance, and Majesco's Zumba Fitness, Please Murder Me in the Fucking Eye. That's actually
honestly, this just reeks of me of, you know, like Activision sees, you know, Guitar Hero and DJ Hero is like, okay, well, these are dead. You know,
yeah.
people
what else can we rape to death and run into the ground?
Hate Guitar Hero now. Like, we ran it into the ground. You know, it's time to take it out back.
Here's Activision's, like, it's like, hey, here's a successful property. Let's either buy it or get someone to copy it and then just run it into the fucking ground, and then everyone hates it now.
Yeah, like, and then, you know, obviously they've now seen the dance games on Kinect or PlayStation Move, and we're like, that is the wave of the future. Like, it's I don't know, it's just so low risk and reactive. It just, I don't know, it kind of makes my blood boil a little bit. Like, it pisses me off. Just take a fucking chance every now and then. You got all the money in the fucking world.
Activision filed a trademark for Dance Hero with the U.S. Patent Office in 2008. They saw that years ago. They were getting on top of it.
Yeah.
And,
I want to make a game called Franchise Hero. You play Bobby Kotick.
And you have to pick your favorite IP and destroy it.
Yes.
Without a tear in your eye, and just leave the money on the dresser. Or wait, am I the whore or is the game the whore? I don't even know.
Yeah, everyone loses.
Yeah, everyone is the whore in this industry. you got any more stories for us, Justin Fick?
No, that's it.
All right, I got just a few more. I got two more for you, Justin Fick. This first one's pretty short and simple, sweet. Pokemon Black and White came out Tuesday of this week. So, how many copies do you think it sold in a day? In one day? You keep in mind, it came out yesterday. Recording this on Wednesday. It came out yesterday. How many copies do you think?
Shit. I don't know.
1 million. 1 million. 1 million in a fucking day. Are you kidding me?
That's a lot of Pokemon.
Pokemon. I mean, Pokemon. I cannot believe that Pokemon still carries the clout it did when I was in fucking, like, middle school. I can't believe it. Hell, more than the clout.
It seems like, I mean, you would know this better than I do, but it seems like, in terms of innovation on the franchise, Pokemon does very little.
Well, they've got Pokemon is the concept, and in, just like we're talking about shitting on Dance Hero, they've refined the formula every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every year, I mean, well, it doesn't come out every year, but every iteration has refined the formula, and in that sense, it's good, you know? I mean, I guess you could say that for Dance, I don't know, is there a difference? I guess there's really not. I'm trying to think there's
honestly,
one in my
I
head.
I would compare it to, and I'm going to go out of the realm of video games here for a bit. I compare it to, like, Magic the Gathering, where they've managed to keep that shit alive for, I don't know, since, God.
I would, look,
probably
I would,
as long as Pokemon. It was since I was in high school, I think.
I would compare it to Tupac records. Everybody knows that motherfucker's dead, and yet here's another new album every fucking 8 months. It's public knowledge he's dead. It's public knowledge that fucking Pokemon is ancient, and yet still 1.08 million units in 24 hours.
I mean, yeah, I think what they did that was brilliant then was I think they made the value of that game the Pokemon themselves.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, like comparing it to Magic, like the game has not evolved really at all. I mean, it has a couple of, like, you know, small innovations here or there, but they really keep it alive by just making new cards.
Yeah,
they have a couple of designers that make a new set of cards. They keep their game alive for another year.
You know, and I think it gets back, you know, it's the same deal with Farmville. People are addicted to Farmville, I think, for the same reason they're addicted to Pokemon. It's, what's Pokemon's slogan? Gotta catch them all, right? It's these, it's like, they were like, in a way, kind of the pioneers of achievements. It's like, you gotta get all these little fucking things, and you want to get them all, and people are always gonna want that. Just like you're always gonna want to have a little Farmville with all the little doodads and the spinning whatevers. You want it. And I think that as long as they've got that, you know, collectible aspect to it that addicts people, we're going to see Pokemon games come out every year until the apocalypse.
This is a game that a lot of kids sort of grew up on. Like, this was their RPG. Like, I had Final Fantasy. You know, I had Final Fantasy and I had Dragon Warrior. Like a new one of those games comes out and, you know, I'll probably buy it. Like, you know, just because that's what I grew up with. You know, I mean, Final Fantasy, maybe not so much, but I mean, Dragon Warrior, like, I know what I'm getting. It's the same experience that I got when I was a kid, only refined, you know, 8 or 9 times. And, you know, I know it's going to be that same sort of experience again. So, I mean, people, you know, like these kids got into their Pokemon, and this was, like, their first major game experience. And this was, like, this whole awesome world full of, like, these little creatures and all the battling, all the fucking duels, and I don't know. I think that just blew their minds, and that was their game growing up. Like,
well, look,
you know.
And look, I mean, I don't know what happened to you. I guess I'm a little younger than you, but I love Pokemon. I was a little older, and I knew it was kind of a child's game. But at the same time, I was big into like the Game Boy at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who fucking what? Tell me one person who didn't like. Tell me any gamer who didn't like the Game Boy in like the late 90s.
Bobby Kotick.
Come on. Or really, the mid 90s. I don't know. Point is like. It's a fun game. It's a fun game collecting and battling. I mean, it's a fun game, and the concept doesn't really change that much. And, you know, I played the last one, but I'll probably buy this new one. Why the fuck not? Just, you know.
I've played Pokemon. Like, you know, I've played it, but I think it was a couple of years before, you know, after my time.
Right.
Like, you know, I think I was a little too old when it came out to really be
speaking,
like, oh my
speaking
God,
of which,
Pokemon,
just
sounds...
a fact, you just had your birthday, right? We talked about this last time.
Yeah, I am.
Don't say it. Don't say it, Justin Fick.
The
dreaded thug.
We do not mention that.
The age that shall not be named.
All my hair fell out. All my hair fell out. I got a gut, and now my knee hurts. Like, God damn it.
I haven't been banged in like 8 years. This is awful.
I'm fucking falling apart now, right after the switch over.
God damn it.
I'm an old man now.
I feel old because I feel like in my head, I forget that you're older than me, Justin Fick. I feel like we've always been the same age, but I forget. And like, oh my God, now I'm about to be 30. Oh God! I have to kill you, so I will stop aging, Justin Fick.
I am causing all of us to age.
All right. So my last story for you, Justin Fick. Blizzard's next MMOG.
Oh shit!
For those of you who don't know, that's massively multiplayer online game.
COO Paul Sams confirms that World of Warcraft maker's next big project, codenamed Titan, has reached an advanced stage of development, and apparently people are playing it. I don't know who these people are, but it's playable enough that it's on computers. They're playing it. I'm sure it's still at least a year off, but it sounds like they're getting you know, then again, maybe not. Blizzard could be... You forget Blizzard, I mean, other than maybe another expansion pack, they don't really have anything on their plate now other than... Well, I guess Diablo 3, but we hadn't really heard much about that lately. Have we?
Yeah, I mean that's gonna come out when it comes out.
Is it gonna come out this fall? Because I bet it is.
Like, everything I see says it's kind of close to done, but I don't know. They like to take their sweet fucking time on that kind of stuff.
Right. The schedule they say is fourth quarter 2013, which is wow. That's all. Damn.
Really? I mean, this is for the
but you gotta keep
Mamog,
in mind that,
or is this for the Diablo 3?
For the project codenamed Titan, whatever that is. But at the same time, you know, they spent a lot of years developing World of Warcraft, and look what that's turned into them.
Oh, yeah.
It's a billion-dollar industry for them. And it's been, I mean, when did World of Warcraft come out? Like 2005? And that game is just a, hell, it's, hugely more successful than when it came out. And yeah, that was 8 years ago, 6 years ago.
Yeah, it's been out a while.
Damn.
I mean that's kind of Blizzard's MO. It's like they'll take as much time as they want to fucking take on their game. I mean,
They will take StarCraft Ghost and just throw it in the fucking trash. Do you remember that was for years? Oh, yeah. StarCraft Ghost.
Oh yeah, I remember StarCraft. I remember going to E3 and there's like the big giant like 9 foot tall StarCraft Ghost chick.
Yeah.
That just disappeared. But the thing is, like when they finally do finish something, like it's the last type of that game you will ever need to play.
Yeah.
You know, like people don't need to play any other real time strategy now ever. In fact, no other RTS games even exist. No other MMOs even exist. They're just they're dead. Yeah.
Well, no, I think we're talking like didn't like some Dawn of War or something come out. I think there's still it's not like, but yeah, definitely Blizzard owns the at least right now. I guess before StarCraft 2, they didn't really, but certainly I would say, and if you were to poll all, you know, RTS gamers, even before StarCraft 2 came out, it was like 30% were on StarCraft 2. Anyway,
well, I mean, even before StarCraft 2, they owned it with StarCraft 1.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, people are still playing StarCraft 1, and StarCraft 2 is out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how good the games that Blizzard makes are.
They're an excellent company, but at the same time, you know... Well, I know, I don't want to bitch at Blizzard, because I love all their games, but... Oh, World of Warcraft has destroyed so many lives. Hell, even StarCraft has destroyed so many lives. And, you know, South Korea, you know, pulling dead gamers off their fucking PC bang keyboard.
I know. A lot of games are destroying lives now. Fucking Farmville destroys lives.
I know. You make something so good.
Like, thousands of dollars into their farm. Or, like, letting their babies die because they don't want to fucking stop.
I mean, what is it about? I mean, I guess anything can do this. But it seems like this aspect of gaming where it, like, consumes your life, this is a relatively new trend. I mean, there's always been people playing. I remember back when, like, Quake 2 came out, and then there were just guys playing Quake 2 for hundreds of hours on the internet. But it doesn't seem like we saw the level of, I've neglected my entire life, and I'm, like, being evicted and dying because I'm addicted to this game like we do now.
I mean, it could be a couple things. It could be the fact that, you know, players of WoW and players of, you know, like Farmville, they are, you know, they're older. You know, WoW and Farmville are casual, you know, not casual, but, you know, they're aimed at all ages.
Right.
So anyone can go play WoW, anyone can play Farmville. So they're probably people with families and shit. And the thing is, like, it really isn't that much that new of a thing because... You know, there are a lot of addictive gaming patterns, and you see a lot of them in casino games, for instance. I mean, people will sit in front of a slot machine for days.
Yeah, I guess it's sort of the same mentality. Oh, Justin Fick, and I wanted to talk about that. Let's save that for later in the show. Let's see, we'll do a discussion on that.
All right.
But remember that, where are we? You know what I'm talking about. We'll get to that.
Heat.
All right.
Actually, speaking of heat, I just found another news story.
Oh, okay.
And this is hot. D3 publisher confirms that Earth Defense Force Armageddon comes out July 5th.
Oh, shit! Oh, my God, dude.
I'm fucking there.
Oh, dude. Greatest, like, nobody ever played that game ever, but I loved it. Xbox game of all time.
Yes, yes. Speaking of addictive games, I think my Earth Defense Force save has, like, 110 hours on it. I swear, I have one weapon left to get. I should just fucking finish that out. I have one weapon left to get. That's it.
Earth Defense Force, for those who don't know, is this game where you're on Earth, and here become aliens. And you gotta shoot them, and they're giant bugs coming out of space. And you have guns, and they blow up buildings. And it's just ridiculous. I was gonna say it's kind of like Serious Sam, but not really. Like, the violence is on, like, a... Yeah, it's in the same, like, it's kind of arcadey and silly and over the top, but, yeah, it's more of a, almost all the enemies are, what's, not melee, I guess you would say, or melee, not projectile-based. And so it's more like crowd management, that game. But fantastic, Earth Defense Force, you can probably find it for $10 now at GameStop. Oh, I can't wait.
It's just amazing. It has, like, 200 guns.
Yeah, any game that has 200 guns gets a thumb up in my book.
So, and all I'm seeing right now is a screenshot of a of your Earth Defense Force dude with a jetpack.
Excellent.
That's all that game needed. And now it looks like it will have it.
Sweet.
So, all July 5th, I'm fucking there.
I'm there. Does it say the price? Because I like that game. At the same time, $60 for Earth Defense Force, you know.
Well, the thing is, Earth Defense Force came out at $40.
Yeah, see, it's like you don't know Jack.
It came out as a budget title. Whether it will do that again, I don't know.
Which is like you don't know Jack. You don't know Jack, really great game. But at the same time, I'd feel $60 for, you know, kind of an arcade, just kind of play. Well, then again, I guess you're totally dedicated. It's not like I played it so much, but you see what I'm getting at.
Yeah. $60 for any game nowadays is getting a little steep.
I mean, especially
with me being so hooked on getting iPhone games now and all, you know, for $60, I can fill up 3 home screens full of games.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know when that mentality is going to come to Xbox, but I fear that it will. And maybe I shouldn't fear it.
I think Xbox still has the distinction of, you know, it's kind of the, I don't know. I think it's positioning itself as the fine wine of gaming.
Well, why did you know, why like, did
like,
prices
you'll get like a $5 or $10 downloadable game on Xbox, and it's, I guess like especially of those gamers, like their sort of viewpoint of iPhone games, that these are, you know, you're paying $1 for a fucking flash game.
Right, but at the same time, the, you know, the iPhone is a excellent, is a really unique. I remember when the App Store came out, you know, apps were, you know, $5, $3, whatever. And very quickly, just because of, like, sales and maneuvering by developers, 99 cents, the minimum price you can charge, became kind of the standard for almost all apps.
Oh, yeah. Right? It all goes back to Brian Greenstone of Pangea. Remember him?
Yeah, I remember. Wait, what did he say?
He sort of pioneered that race to 99 cents.
Yeah, I saw he tweeted just the other day that, look at me, I'm so fucking social savvy, they had set, like, Enigma 2 to, like, 99 cents, and nobody was buying it, so he was like, yeah, we're taking the price back up. Why not? But I don't know, it seems like that's interesting, because, like, if you look at Xbox, the price is kind of set by the device's manufacturer, and on the iPhone, we see for the first time, it's sort of open market, pay whatever you want, and developers have kind of just like hit that rock bottom. You think if games
were able to... Yeah, that's the other thing too. Yeah, I guess because the developers are setting their own prices and not Microsoft is setting everyone's prices or Sony setting everyone's prices. Like, imagine, all it takes is a couple guys to race to the bottom and everyone else has to follow suit.
Well, imagine that 10 years from now or 5 years or hell, fucking 3 years. In fact, you could really even do this now.
Next week.
You can download games on the Xbox, like full versions of games, right? What if you know, I know this is not true, but what if your Xbox had unlimited storage, it didn't take long to download, and any game you could get either digitally or via the disc, and they let developers set whatever price they want? I mean, would the same thing happen? Would we have a race to the bottom? Would we have a race to the cheapest price? Because in a way, that makes whatever, I mean, because the 99-cent price structure makes them more money. Because there's more people buying it, whereas if they said it, you see, it's sort of a give and take.
I think it would need to be a digital download because those really don't cost much to, you know, to deploy. Like if you make a disc like that, you know, maybe it costs a couple bucks to put a disc out. You know, so I think it would need to be a digital download. But I mean, yeah, I mean that's a good question. I mean. Obviously, you know, if you sell your next Killzone for $1 instead of 60, obviously you have to sell 60 times as many copies to break even. But
maybe
how many more people are going to buy it because it's
$1? You would sell 60 times as many copies.
Like honestly, like I know if all these Xbox games are coming out now for $1, I'd be trying a lot more of them.
Yeah,
you know, it's just one of those goofy little impulse buys. It's just like, okay, well. You know, this looks okay. It's 99 cents. I just found that in my couch cushions.
Speaking of impulse buys, we got to get to this in a. We got to look. We're gonna have a discussion on this here in a minute. Anyway, let's get to releases.
So we got Shogun 2 Total War.
I heard that the original of this was very, very good. Never played it.
I never played the original either.
Speaking of games that rival StarCraft, I've heard that this is a really good RTS. Who does this? Total War. Isn't that the name of the company? Yeah, and Sega publishes it, if I'm not mistaken. The one thing Sega hasn't fucked up, Total War.
Actually, you know what? Like, I've been reading this. This is going off on a tangent a little bit. I guess Sega is really coming back into, like, arcade consoles.
Really?
Because I'm putting together my cabinet, Blake Buck.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to find a monitor solution. Because no one makes 3.4 or 4.3 monitors bigger than 19 inches.
Dude, I got the solution right here.
What is it?
Dude, wait, here. We'll take a break for a second. Dude, X Gaming makes this incredible thing. Have you seen this?
I saw their arcade CRT.
Yeah, dude, are you kidding me? That thing looks amazing.
Do you have it?
No, I don't have it. I just have a shitty fucking Dell monitor in my tube.
Okay, like, I saw that, and I was looking at it, and...
Where is it?
I don't know, like...
Yeah, look at that fucking thing. It's 29-inch, and look at... And the thing I really like is it's got no... There's... You know, the problem with my monitor is that it's an actual monitor in a case, and so there's a lot of, like... kind of blank space around it. This thing, though, is designed the tube, dude. Yeah. And $469. That's a good bit, but for a 29-inch, like, totally fucking authentic arcade monitor, dude, I think that can't be beat.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about jumping on it when they had their 27, the Wells Gardner, but I guess that's gone now, because a 29 is too big to fit in my heat.
Yeah. Well, here, I sent you a link to that thing.
Nice. But
29 is too big?
Yeah. But what I was looking at was is actually cutting out, like, the sides of this thing and sort of making it like so they got these things called Lindbergh cabinets now.
Mm-hmm.
Which are basically, you know, Sega puts computers in them. Mm-hmm. And it's basically just like a tabletop with a joystick built in, and then a giant widescreen monitor just like sits on top of it, and it's just attached.
Huh.
So I'm kind of thinking of just busting out of the sides of this box, just cutting the sides out, and just slapping like a big fucking, you know, 32-inch widescreen television on it.
You certainly could, and that'd probably be cheaper than going. Yeah, because you can get a 32-inch widescreen TV for way less than $469.
Like $300 maybe.
Yeah, that'd probably be a pretty smart deal, too. But I do kind of like this because, or at least from what I've read in this material, these are like, you're going to get the feel of the arcade cabinet. I know, like, for instance, on my cabinet, I mean, it looks good, it plays fine, but at the same time, at the end of the day, you know you're looking at a computer monitor.
Yeah.
You know? It does, I don't know, maybe I'm chasing some dream that I don't have, but that doesn't
exist.
Well, the
thing is, long ago I decided to sort of not do the authentic arcade experience. Like, I'm sort of going for, if someone were to make an arcade cabinet now, what would it have? So I have like the joysticks that are full analog Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got that, and then they can, you know, in software they can map to like an 8 or a 4-way.
Oh, that's cool.
So, you know, think about
wait,
having.
Wait, is that,
you know,
does X Arcade? Wait, that was on the X Arcade that does that now?
No, I had the tank stick from them.
Uh-huh.
And then it actually crashed on everything that I tried to use it with. Like, it just hung my computer.
Huh.
So I ended up ordering from Ultimark. I got a couple of joysticks and just sort of ripped out all the wiring in the tank stick. I still have the enclosure.
Yeah.
But ripped the joysticks out, replaced those, rewired the buttons to go into this new joystick. It's kind of cool. Like, it's a... So picture the joystick part of the X Arcade plugs directly into USB... And then there are 8 wires that come out of it you can connect to buttons, and it just reads it as an 8-button USB joystick.
Huh.
It's hot.
That's cool, dude.
So I can send you that heat too really quick. But yeah, so I got a couple of those, and now I'm looking at my monitor next.
Dude, I gotta get back on mine, because like I made it, and then like, you know, the computer is so old, right? And so I tried to run updates on it. Now, like, half the shit doesn't work on it. That's one thing that sucks about, like, having it as a fully operational computer, too, is, like, oh, shit's going to fuck up on you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it was, like, an authentic arcade, I wouldn't have to worry about, oh, hey, you updated your ROM files, and now half your games don't work.
Yeah.
God damn it.
So, I mean, I'm actually doing a little bit of a blasphemy, and I might even just put a Mac in it.
And oh, then, Lord, no.
Well, because what I'm thinking is, I'm thinking of putting putting some arcade ports of all my shit on it.
Hmm.
So having, like, arcade, you know,
oh, dude, Kill
Dr. Cote, you know, arcade Laserface Jones.
Oh, yeah, I see what you did here. Oh, this thing's pimp. Dude, you know what we need to do? Maybe not next week, or maybe next week. We need to have a show where we have a long discussion about how to make a MAME cabinet, and you and me can chime in. So maybe we'll do that heat next week. We'll see. Anyway, let's get what we've gotten distracted.
We're way off track.
Next game we got is Homefront, coming to Xbox, PC, PS3. Homefront is a story-driven first-person shooter set in the year 2007. Yeah, this is where, like, Russians invade or something. This game has actually had quite a lot of buzz behind it, which has surprised me because it's made by who? I have no idea. Who made? Chaos Studios. What else? That's really familiar. No, I'm thinking of Chrome.
They're in New York, I think.
I was thinking Chrome. They made Game Room. Let's see, they did Frontlines, Fuel of War. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, Chaos is here in Manhattan, actually.
Yeah. Frontlines was a pretty decent... I mean, it was kind of a Me Too. It was kind of like a Battlefield Me Too. But it had some interesting ideas, and I think that what they've really latched onto is a cool IP here. Whereas, like, Homefront, it was like war and oil. That was, like, their IP. So I think that this game has gotten a lot of press, a lot of marketing around it. Maybe it'll take off for them, because definitely Homefront didn't, or what's the other one? Frontlines.
Yeah, like you kind of have to go in a different direction, because, I mean, all the general war stuff, like you know, Black Ops did it, you know, a Killzone is doing it wonderfully. Yeah. Like, you can't compete with those games.
That's how Bioshock did it. Bioshock is basically your standard corridor shooter, and yet... It took the IP and put it in some insane, crazy place that now, boom, they've got a million. They've got a franchise that's going to last them at least to a fourth game, even if the next two suck. The second one did suck. Yeah, the second one did suck, but they're making a third one that looks. Dude, have you seen the videos for that one? The one in Sky Skyrim job.
No, I haven't actually.
Oh, it's instead of being underwater, it's like they're on these you know, balloons up in the sky and these cities in the clouds and stuff. Huh. They went the opposite direction.
BioShock Four will be on the moon.
And the next one, BioShock Five in hell.
Yeah.
BioShock Six. BioShock Strikes Back. So. I think that they got potential here with Homefront. We'll see how it turns out for them. We've got God's Eater Burst. All right, coming out on PSP. I have no idea what this is. God's Eater Burst is an enhanced successor to the PSP hit God Eater. It looks like anime boo boo.
Sounds delicious.
Possibly a fighting game. It looks like a fighting game. Maybe an RPG. Oh, but it also kind of looks like, what's that game? Monster Hunter. I can't tell. This looks all over the place. If anybody knows anything about this, send us an email.
Email us.
You got any, you want to take out the rest of these? Anything
else? Yeah, I'll go through these quickly, because none of them look particularly exciting. We got Warriors Legends of Troy, Battles of the Greeks or Trojans in an action game, PS3, mm-hmm. DS game Okami Den. It's Okami,
this?
But you're a puppy.
Huh? Is
Same
it
powers.
What kind of game is it? Is it like the original? Is it a third person kind of?
It looks like Okami for DS.
Yeah, it looks. I'm looking at the screenshots. It looks like kind of a bunch of mini games almost kind of put together. Maybe not, but yeah, not.
We got let's see what else we got here. R. Tonalico Koga, Nell of R. Seal.
That's one for William Miller.
Yep.
Speaking of which, where is his ass at? What the fuck?
I thought he was supposed to get here by, an hour ago?
I just texted him, and he's not answering.
Ugh.
Ooh, dude, Yakuza 4. Did you even know Yakuza 3 exists? Or 2,
no.
For that matter.
I remember Yakuza 2.
Oh, man, I remember 1. Like, what? Is this I mean, they keep making these, and God knows Sega needs any, like, IP it can get, but... Really? Yakuza? Who's like, oh, shit, yeah, Yakuza 4. Can't wait. It returns for another round of open world adventure, this time with four main characters. That sounds awful.
I guess
I don't know who I'm playing. You're playing the entire city of Tokyo. All right. Oh, look, that Halo map pack coming out this next
week. The Defiant map pack.
Have you heard anything about that? Is that supposed to be any good?
All I heard about it is that I think it's going to be the last one.
Really? It seems like they would.
I want to say I saw something that Bungie said they were done with it. Like they were done making map packs.
Hmm. I wonder why that. I mean, it seems like they got people who like buying them. I don't see why. I mean, didn't Halo 3 have at least three or four map packs?
Yeah, I think maybe they're just they're not part of Microsoft anymore. They just want to be done with it.
Maybe so. Yeah, I forgot that's true. What was I going to say about? Oh, okay. So for some reason, me and a friend of mine. You know the firefight mode?
Like, yep.
We love the firefight mode. We call it egg baby mode. I don't really even know why.
Mode?
It's just like we're drinking, we play that game, and you just say stupid shit, and then like you're laughing, and it doesn't even make sense. But I love firefight mode. You get wasted, play firefight. I love it. You shoot all the egg babies, they're dead. Kill them. Like every enemy,
is that the grunts. Then the grunts are egg babies.
Yeah, the grunts are egg babies. The guys with the jetpacks are Led Zeppelins, and whenever they fly, you go ah!
I think this needs to be a BDP like video feature or something.
Oh yeah, no. Every enemy has a name, and like you talk. Oh, it's look. I drink a lot. All right. Point being though is that none of the last map pack, you couldn't play any new firefight modes. And from what I hear, this is. All of the maps in this one are firefight enabled, whatever that means, you know, usable.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't heard egg babies since I held egg babies for ransom in like 7th grade. No, seriously, I would fucking steal people's egg babies and hold them for ransom.
What are egg babies? What are they to you? I have never heard this.
Well, I think it's something that, like, I don't know, like health class or like sex ed class does or something. But I guess it's like to prepare people for the burdens of having a child.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! So, we don't have that shit in the state of Mississippi. All right, you can only have a child if God allows it,
and God allows it as early as age 6,
with your cousin,
yeah.
Or your brother.
But so basically, we had to fucking get an egg. And get, like, those little fucking crafty googly eyes and dress it up like a baby. And you had to carry it around for a week. And you had to, like, you know, it was like you were fucking carrying this thing. Like it was your child. If it was broken, you fail. So naturally.
Wait, is this like a thing? I've never fucking heard of this, ever.
Really? No. I've also heard people doing bags of sugar. You had to carry around a sugar baby. Like, it's really heavy.
Have you ever heard of, like, egg babies where you had to carry around, like, an egg when you were, like, in 6th grade to, like, demonstrate that you knew how to care for something? You've never heard of this?
In the North, we don't do that.
Because you're from, you went to school in Illinois, right?
We raised corn.
Wait, so you didn't have, like, a bag of flour or anything like that where you're, like, raising a child?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, Justin Fick.
Yeah, maybe it's just me, but
maybe it's just your crazy fucking.
But naturally, with all of us being, you know, the 7th graders that we were, like our method of taking care of babies were to kidnap them and hold them for ransom.
Now, I'm really curious about this now. Like, I want to hear from everybody. Everybody send us email about egg babies. Does this really happen, or is Justin Fick just, like, on drugs right now?
There's got to be. I can't be the only one that has fucking egg babies.
All right.
Yeah, man, we actually had to murder a couple egg babies. They were executed.
It sounds
they were eggs executed.
All right, enough puns. All it's right. Time for the topic. Now, Justin Pick, we got a topic to talk about because I saw this in my email. I saw this on the App Store, and it blew my mind. And I sent you and William Miller a link to this, and I could not believe what I saw.
Lay it on me.
All right, so right now we're talking about gambling and social gaming. Because apparently the two of these things are hand in hand nowadays. I had no idea this was happening. Let me read you here. Let's see if I can find it. Can you pull up the Mac App Store on the internet? What's it called? Coindozer.
Let me see. Oh yeah, the coin. Yeah, Coindozer is getting up there in the charts.
Okay, there's an app on the iTunes Store or the iPhone / what is it called? What are they? I guess they call it the iOS Store is really the name of
it. The iTunes App Store.
Anyway, it's called Coindozer Pro, and it's like, or there's Coindozer and Coindozer Pro. One of them's the pay, one of them's the free. But this game is basically that game that you play. We've all been to, you know, Chuck E. Cheese or Dave and Buster's or any of these kind of, you know, arcades where you put a quarter in and it goes down a little chute and it lands on a pile of other quarters. And there's this moving bar that kind of pushes the quarters forward. And the thought is, oh, I'm going to put a quarter in and it's going to push my quarter over the edge and I'll get a couple of quarters back. So the thought is, oh, I'll put in one quarter, I'll get six quarters back. Right? Mm-hmm. This is an app on the iPhone now. And you put in the coins and you get the coins back. But here's the trick. Once you run out of coins, you pay money to get more coins. Right?
Yep.
That's the last time I checked, that is literally gambling. And it's available
It's really close to gambling. And
it's not. It is.
I have something to confess, Blake Buck.
All right, profess it to me.
You gotta promise you'll still love me after this.
Uh-oh.
But Coindozer is actually a direct ripoff of an app called Coin Push Frenzy.
Oh, no.
Which is the exact same concept. You put a coin in. And it pushes coins off, and you get more coins. You have to pay for them.
Right, and once you run out, you have to pay for more.
Yep. Put out by none other than Freeverse Incorporated.
Oh, no.
That's ours.
Now, I don't want to take a big stinky shit on Freeverse, but these it's not just – before I get to me shitting all over this, it's not just this. I played an app called Stardunk, which is like number maybe 10 in the App Store on the free App Store.
I love Stardunk.
Oh, dude, Stardunk is great. I love Stardunk, but at the same time, you know, there's so much downloadable do you want to, instead of having to play the game, you can purchase things, right? Oh, I don't want to have to play. I don't want to have, you get star points that unlock new balls, new themes.
When did this happen?
Yeah, oh, dude, it's all over the place. You really? Get new themes.
I remember playing Stardunk, and it, like all the balls you unlocked were kind of like achievements almost, like get this many points or get this many squishes in a row.
It still is. It still is. But now they're called Star Points, and you boot up the app, and it's like, want to get more Star Points easy? Just download one of these apps for free.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
And then it's like, oh, download this one. It costs $1, but you get a lot of points. You get a lot of star points if you download this one.
I guess it was only a matter of time.
Or you can buy star points by themselves, right? And it's like, there's a difference between you can pay to advance in a game faster. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's why I really like Stardunk, and I don't mind it, because it's like I can still earn points by playing the game.
Yeah.
My problem with Coindozer and any other app like it is that you are literally taking money and risking it in hopes of, like, getting things back in the game. And
we also have a game that is, it's even closer. I mean, it's an actual gambling game. There's a blackjack game.
Right.
That basically you have to pay to replenish your bankroll.
Right.
I mean, you can wait a certain wait a certain period of time and you get like a daily little bonus or whatever. But the idea is you play blackjack and you pay real money to get your fake money.
Right. And here's what I'm getting at. Like the developers of these games argue, well, there's no way you can win money from this game. You put money in, money never comes out.
That separates it from the formal definition of gambling.
Right. But at the same time, I'm buying, let's just call them widgets, whatever you want to refer to them in the game. I'm buying things in the game. I'm using real money to buy things in the game and hoping to get more of that same thing in the game.
Yes.
Without paying more money.
If the game is, the game is designed to make that fake currency as valuable to you as real currency.
Right.
So and really, like, I think psychologically, there really isn't a difference.
Right, that. Psychologically, there's no difference. I understand that, like, the developers are like, oh, well, one, you make real money, and one, you don't make money, so it's not gambling. But, like, from a psychological perspective, it's the exact same fucking thing. And, you know, I don't want to shit on Freeverse or anybody else that makes these, but, like, that's literally gambling, literally, and it shouldn't be available to children. First of all, you know how apps, you know, if they have blood or nudity in them, I don't think there's any with nudity, but if they're bloody or violent, you have to agree to be over 17 when you say okay or whatever, right? I mean, that should definitely apply to these games. And even then, I think that any game like this should come with a warning label about, like, gambling addiction. If you go into a casino in Vegas, Vic, you've lived in Vegas, right? You see, I mean, I'm sure there are all sorts of signs that are required by the state about, like, need help with
signs,
gambling.
There's television commercials. There's a lot of CYA that these casinos have to do to be able to operate.
Because they make so much money off of, like, manipulating you that it's important to have things like the states step in and say, hey, you should stop this, and if you want help, here's how, and these casinos have to provide it. But here, none of that happens. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, it's new territory. I mean, it's something that has really never been seen before. So, I mean, social games in the last couple of years have really been taking off.
Right.
I mean, like a lot of companies are moving toward that direction. And, you know, a lot of them have that, you know, or I mean, all of them sort of, they monetize with that microtransaction kind of thing. And, you know, really, it was only a small hop, skip, and a jump to making those into gambling games. And the thing, like, you know, like, you're right, there really isn't any sort of regulation yet.
Right. You know, we talked about the FTC. Well, you know, then again, we talked about this last week. You talked about the Federal Trade Commission was, you know, looking into some of these in-app purchases. And really, I don't know if that specifically addressed this, but this, it needs to be addressed. Because, I mean, literally, you could be a kid. I mean, I don't know. How old are you when you get a credit card these days as a kid? I mean, I guess, you know, your parents, let's say you're a kid with an iPhone, because kids have iPhones, right? Your parents probably give you X amount you can spend, right? But I can see a kid at 10 years old getting hooked on CoinDozer Pro and spending hundreds potentially of dollars on this thing. And he's literally addicted to gambling with, like, no way out. There's no curb your addiction programs. There's no checks and balances to make sure that these companies are being fair. You know, slot companies, you know, they have to pay out X percent, right? None of that's regulation in these digital transactions.
Yeah.
And
yeah, like, for instance, every state that has gambling has a gaming commission.
Right.
I mean, they are very, very closely regulated and monitored, and, you know, there really is nothing like that exists for the virtual counterpart.
Right.
You know, because, like, they're still sort of forming. You know, right? Like, they're really not.
I don't know. I think I look.
Genre
look, yet. I am staring at the app page on here. You're telling me it's not solidified, and I'm looking top in app purchases. 50 plus 50 coins, 99 cents. Plus 300 coins, $4.99. Plus 750 coins, $9.99. Plus 2,000 coins, $24.99. I mean,
do they have a $100 option? I'm sure
they
do.
They do not. They don't. Okay. Well, then again, this is only the top one.
When I say it's not solidified, I mean it's not really, like, people really haven't, I guess, got it in the spotlight yet. I mean, these games exist. And, you know, like, they're making money now and stuff, but, you know, it really hasn't gotten into the public
eye. Well, yeah, they've been on the fringe, and I think CoinDozer Pro, and CoinDozer, you know, the free version, I think this is the tipping point of this. I think this is, like, just a mere matter of weeks from becoming, like, a big issue in not only the gaming industry, but in, you know, the gambling industry. I think this is an issue that's about to explode, because...
Yeah.
In my mind, it should. This should be regulated. I mean, you can make them if you want, but the fact that there's no regulation, there's no stopgaps to... Because it is addictive behavior. Nobody's playing CoinDozer like, I love the gameplay of this. I love fucking watching digital coins fall onto the screen. Right? You're addicted to that element of making money, even though it's not real money.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the difference right now between, you know, gambling and these gambling social games is, you know, I think with gambling, we've kind of established that, yes, this is addictive behavior, you know, and there needs to be some responsibility on the side of the casinos.
Right.
With social games, you know, just with the arguments that I've had with people, you know, like a lot of people say that it's the player's fault. You know, like it's the player's responsibility.
Imagine back to these games. I mean, it's like, imagine when Las Vegas was founded, or I don't even. I'm sure there was gambling before Las Vegas, but imagine when like you know, slots became prevalent as an organized thing in America or any country, really.
Well, they had a name for them, but you know, before they were really regulated. You remember what that is?
What's that?
You know, slot machines were called one-armed bandits.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what people called these things, just because, you know, it's obvious what these things did, yet people kept playing them. Like, it, you right. know, it ended up being proven that, you know, slot machines are an addictive device.
Right.
And they became regulated. And there really is no matching regulation for, you know, a game that, you know, really the only difference between it and proper gambling is it doesn't give you back real money.
But what, I mean, it gives you back these prizes. You know, that's, they got a little screen here. Well, you collect, you know, there's little teddy bears. You want to collect the teddy bears and get the gems and the dice, and you want that. I mean, even though it's not real and it has no monetary value, people want it. You know, it's, I mean, it's not different from gambling.
Yeah, I mean,
anybody
it's,
who
it's,
says it's different from it's gambling a,
it's
is a fucking idiot.
It's a game design term. It's called endogenous value. So this is something that, because it's, you know, because it's so useful in the game, you attach a value to it. I mean, or going back to, I'm going to throw the card game out there again, you know, going back to Magic the Gathering, there are cards that are literally $100 if you want to go buy them.
Yeah, and I guess
I swear
that's
to fucking God, there's a card that costs $100.
Now, what's
that
the
is
difference?
Endogenous value. It's a piece of cardboard.
What's the you difference know, between that
worthless.
And this, though? I mean, imagine, okay, are you going to say, oh, Magic the Gathering, you can't have – kids go to the store, they buy the pack of cards hoping to get the rare, powerful card to use, right? And then they can't. You know, they potentially spend, you know, dozens, hundreds of dollars trying to get the rare card. Is that so different from – because that rare card – I mean, well, I guess that card can be traded and has real monetary value in some sense. But what's the difference between – I sell cards, and I'm selling, I don't know, maybe it's not so different.
It's not that different, actually. I mean, you know, it's
well, but
a
we don't regulate.
That is used in, you know, like, it is used in card games like that, but I mean,
but we don't,
you know,
we
my,
don't regulate card games. No one here is like, yeah, you don't hear about people, oh, I lost my life savings on Magic the Gathering looking for the Uber Monster Mega Chew, or whatever, I don't play it anymore.
But I think, you know, it's the whole thing is a gray area. I mean, you can kind of line these up in, you know, I guess in order of increasing a resemblance to casino games, I suppose. So you mean, you know, on
right.
on the far end, of course, is actual, you know, are actual casino games. And then you have things that are 99% there, you know, things like these, like the Coin Dozer games.
I think my problem with Coin Dozer is that it's so close. It's so close to actual gambling. You know, buying a card, hoping you get the rare pack, that's still kind of abstracted from gambling. But this is like, literally, they are coins. I am buying coins and then throwing them on the screen, hoping to get back more coins.
Yeah.
Like, it's one-to-one, almost.
Yeah, I mean,
it's I bring up
the rare cards in Magic just because that is an example of something that was given endogenous value.
Right.
Here's this piece of cardboard that, because of what is written on it, you know, like, it costs the same amount to print that, you know, the rules on that card compared to the rules on this card, but just simply what they say and what that means for the game means that this card is worth $100.
Right.
You know, that is endogenous value. I mean, that card costs a cent to make, just the same way every other card in Magic costs a cent to make.
Right.
You know, it's merely how it affects the game that makes it valuable. So, you know, that's what these games do is, you know, like, even though it's not giving you real money back, which is, you know, I guess what they would say separates it from proper gambling, you know, the fact that these things are given endogenous value means that you want them and they are as valuable to you as real money.
And unlike real gambling, where you have to go into, let's admit, most places where you can gamble, you can smoke. There's shady character. I mean, not all game. I mean, but, you know, a casino is kind of a seedier thing that's separated from the real world. Whereas here, it's on my phone all the time. Yeah. Convenient. Whenever I got 10 minutes, yeah, let's spend 99 cents and blow some money on trinkets that don't exist.
I mean, and also, it's worth noting that you cannot gamble until you're 21.
Right. And you can only get, in the state of Mississippi, you can only gamble over water. Are you fucking kidding me? Talk about a state with backwards laws. You have to
not
over
on my
water.
Land.
What did they write? What, did God write that somewhere? Is that in the Bible? Anyway, just pick. We got to move on. We're getting. We've been going. Jesus, we've been going a long time. Let's get to feedback.
All right.
Our first, okay, so our first email comes from Doris Butterina, and the subject is DDDDD. It says, okay. I would call in, but I think this recording would be better for you, my dearest Blake Buck. Forever yours, Doris. Ooh, that's a lady. Here, so there's an MP3. Let's listen to it.
Dear Blake. You are so attractive and handsome. I enjoy all of your exquisite looks, and I am also a lady and would like to engage in many sexual activities with you.
Oh, is that right? Tell me more, Doris.
I have ample breasts and would like you to motorboat them with my bony head. Love from Doris.
Yes, that is an actual woman that has called into our podcast.
You know, Doris, you play your cards right. We'll see. Well, thank you, Doris, or whoever actually sent that.
She sounds hot.
Here, Justific, take our next. Here, I'm gonna Skype it to you.
Yeah, if there's any Doris left over after you're done, you should give me some sloppy seconds. She sounds exquisite.
This All is right. from Wild Penis.
Wild Penis writes in. Dear Blake Buck, some of your comments whilst discussing smoking during episode 68 really offended my intelligence. I think everyone is dumber for listening to it. Obviously, you haven't been utilizing your Kindle enough. To quote a BDP listener of old, quote, I wish I could go back in time and smack you on the mouth every time you're about to say something stupid.
Hey, man, we're all just people. We all got opinions, man, all right? I can think whatever I want. And fuck you.
However.
I bet he's one of those guys who's like, oh, I smell cigarette smoke. Oh, I'm dying. I need a cancer test because I'm dying.
Well, I mean, or he could know someone like Doris who, you know, obviously is speaking through a voice box because of her emphysema.
That's true. Didn't think of that. I'm sorry, Doris.
But you better play your cards right, Blake Buck. You ain't motorboating shit.
I'm gonna motorboat that throat hole. You know, nothing is hotter.
I'll get
fucking
all that hot
an emphysemic
lady
throat
for myself.
Hole. All right. What else he say here?
He also writes. However, I do have one question for BDPE answers.
Oh boy, can't wait. Wait, should this be its own section? I don't know. I don't know.
We'll try it out.
All right. We'll do it in feedback, but next week we'll make it its own section. So you guys get your questions in for next week.
All right. So his question for BDPE answers. Will Homefront get me through the Battlefield 3 draught? I know it's a blatant mashup of Call of Duty and Battlefield, and there really isn't a whole lot of creativity involved, but it's one of the only 32 multiplayer games on 360.
You know, I would like to think I played their last game, Frontline or Battlefront or whatever. They had oil, all oily front. But I think their last game was technically pretty sound. I just think that the IP was super weak, and that's why most people didn't really hear much about it. I think that with this kind of a little more clever, the Russian invading idea, they have some possibility of strong IP. And if they, I think that's really what this game is going to hinge on, because I think they had the combat last time, and they probably have the graphics. It's all going to come down to, is it going to hook me with the story?
I mean, it sounds like it might just be different enough to, you know, to keep your attention. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know very little about Homefront still, but I mean, it kind of seems like if they can go that separate story route, then
right.
You know.
It's different. It's something new. Nothing sells better in the gaming industry than new. And also the same shit we've played for thousands of times.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just yesterday I went over to a friend's house and watched him play some Killzone 3. I played a little myself, so I played a little single player, and I watched him play some multiplayer. And I don't know, it's like it's a gorgeous game, but I don't know, it's like I couldn't shake the impression that I've played that game a million fucking times.
It's true.
I mean, maybe Homefront is far enough away from that to keep your attention.
All right, let's go to voicemails. You know, there should be a rule.
Next up.
If we only get voicemails from TK, we don't play them. That should be the rule.
How many voicemails do we have from TK?
And we have two. All right, here it comes.
All right. Hopefully they're timely and entertaining.
Hey, now that Soda and I apparently are married, well, Blake, I guess that makes you our son, because you may be MVP, and we care for you, and we help you when we can. And we also bitch at you, but it's because we love you.
Yeah, they really kind of are like parents. Pseudo Sushi and TK. They do all the shit that I should be doing, but I'm too lazy to do.
You are their egg baby.
There's no such thing as egg babies. God damn
it. I'm telling you, man. That's it, egg babies. Dude, I remember I had fucking googly eyes. I kidnapped someone else's egg. We murdered it.
Usually it takes me a little while to figure out what I want to make for the like the graphic that posts with the show. It's just going to be a fucking egg baby. That's what... Like, it's already decided. We're not even done with the show, and I know. It's just going to be a fucking egg baby.
There has to be someone else that did that. We made egg babies, and I held an egg baby up above my head, above, like, 6 feet in the air, and dropped it, and the egg parent watched it fall to its doom.
Now, just to make sure, you went to public or private school whenever this was happening?
Public.
Public. Okay, so this seems like a thing. I mean, I was thinking maybe you went to some crazy, you know, Second Church of God.
Dude, I would get fucking struck by lightning if I went to school like that. God would be like, no, you need to expel this child.
Anyway, here's the rest of TK's voicemail.
Hugs and kisses, Mrs. Sushi.
Why is he the woman in this? I don't know. All right, next one.
Miller, you better download that Quake app or that Livestream app and livestream some shit from Paxist. And Blake can leave with the comments about that. I guess if he can take a shit on everything. Just an idea.
Well, at least it's shorter than normal.
Yeah. If I did not travel last weekend, I would go to PAX East, but I kind of let my travel plans fall through. So I think William Miller is the only one going.
Well, look, again, his game's coming out. William Miller, you know, I've been hearing about this game for ages. He's been giving me little bits and pieces.
Skyrim job killer.
It better be. I said, like, if it's even remotely shitty, I'm just gonna go to town, just taking a big dump all over this game. So I hope for his sake it's not. Is that it, Justin? Have we reached the end of the show?
I think so, Blake Buck, unless you got some more heat for me.
I guess that does it for the best damn podcast ever. Justin, what do you think?
I think we did damn fine, given that William Miller still hasn't showed up.
I'm telling you. Look, I'm going to read his real email address, like, out right now. You all go shit on him. Will? I'm not going to do it. But the next time this happens, I will. Mark my words. I will read your email. And I expect the Monglers to get on, just sign them up for gay porn sites and everything.
Well, I think what happened with Stings is we were kind of expecting him to show up, so we haven't really busted out the William Miller soundboard yet.
Ah, that's true. Damn it.
We didn't have him here in spirit, because we're kind of waiting for him to kind of kick the door in with his manly leg muscles.
Look, what is it? What time was this? 8:55. I'll be there in just a second and jump on. That was like an hour and a half ago. You goddamn liar.
That's like 2.5 hours ago, so yeah, it's been
my time. It would only be an hour and a half. Anyway.
Oh, gotcha.
I guess that's it for the Best Damn Podcast. From all of us, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller, and I'm Justin
Fitton. And we'll see you next time.
Boop. Done.
Done, son.